This morning I want to talk a little bit about blessings. The scripture talks a lot about God's blessing in various ways. We're going to be looking at some of those scriptures a little bit later on this morning. But this morning I want to talk about receiving God's blessing through our giving, which is a kind of a strange concept and actually a dangerous one, because we're going to talk about giving this morning, and we're going to be talking about blessings this morning. And when we talk about giving, you know, our thoughts usually center around finances. And it's a dangerous topic, because whenever we talk about money, it could be easily misunderstood, or even worse yet, manipulated. And that's not what we want to do. We want to look in God's word and see what it says about how God responds to giving. And some of what I'm going to say is from a book that I've read, The Blessed Life, that was lent to me and I've enjoyed, and I encourage you to get a hold of it and read it if you like. But we're going to begin this morning with a few passages in Deuteronomy, and we're going to see a common theme back in Deuteronomy, beginning at chapter 14. I'm going to read from the New International Version, verses 28 to 29. This is what it says. It says, "At the end of every 3 years, bring all the tithes of that year's produce and store it in your towns, so that the Levites, who have no allotment or inheritance of their own, and the aliens, the fatherless, and the widows who live in your towns may come and eat and be satisfied, and so that the Lord your God may bless you in all the work of your hands." Then down in chapter 15, beginning at verse 7, this is what it says. "If there is a poor man among your brothers in any of the towns of the land that your God is giving you, do not be hard-hearted or tight-fisted toward your poor brother. Rather, be open-handed and freely lend him whatever he needs. Be careful not to harbor this wicked thought. The seventh year, the year of canceling debts, is near, so that you do not show ill will toward your needy brother and give him nothing. He may appeal to the Lord against you, and you will be found guilty of sin. Give generously to him, and so without a grudging heart. Then because of this, because you are giving generously without a grudging heart, then the Lord your God will bless you, you in all your work and in everything you put your hand to." We're seeing a common theme here of God blessing the work of the hands of those who are generous with those in need, who are generous in giving. There's another few verses in Deuteronomy chapter 23, beginning at verse 19. This one's interesting. Listen to what it says. "Do not charge your brother interest, whether on money or food or anything else you may earn. You may charge a foreigner interest, but not a brother Israelite, so that the Lord your God may bless you in everything you put your hand to in the land you are entering to possess." Again, do this so that the Lord your God will bless whatever you put your hand to. Wow. Kind of reminds me of Joseph. You know, whatever he put his hands to, whatever he did, God was blessing. He couldn't get away from it. People tried to turn his life upside down and bring chaos. And yeah, there were times when he had to spend time in prison, but his life was blessed. Another passage in Deuteronomy, this time in chapter 28, and a few verses. I'll be jumping around a little bit in this chapter, but beginning at verse 1, Deuteronomy 28, it says, "If you fully obey the Lord your God and carefully follow all his commands I give you today, the Lord your God will set you high above all the nations of the earth. All these blessings will come upon you and accompany you if you obey the Lord your God. Down in verse 6, you will be blessed when you come in and blessed when you go out. Verse 8, the Lord will send a blessing on your barns and on everything you put your hand to. The Lord your God will bless you in the land he is giving you. And verse 12, the Lord will open the heavens, the storehouses of his bounty, to send rain on your lands in season and to bless all the work of your hands. You will lend to many nations, but will borrow from none. I think it's very obvious here as we look at the scripture that there's a way that brings blessing to the work of our hands. Now, we're not talking here about, you know, becoming rich and famous and living in luxury and all that kind of stuff. Although there's a place where God pours a blessing that way too, and we shouldn't be ashamed of that. But what we're seeing here in scripture after scripture is that God takes an interest in pouring out blessings in the work of our hands and all that we do on those who are faithful in giving, in sharing, in caring, in looking after the needs of those who have not, and in providing for those who are hurting. And we see that in many scriptures throughout the Bible, not just in the book of Deuteronomy. You get a clear sense that God is just waiting to put blessing upon the work of your hands. And he's saying, I'm watching, I'm waiting to respond to you. Will you give? Will you be faithful? Will you do your part? I'm ready to bless. You know, there are more than 500 verses in the Bible that talk about prayer. There's nearly 500 that talk about faith. But there's over 2,000 verses that talk about money and possessions and giving. In fact, nearly half of the parables that Jesus told had to do with giving. Clearly, money is an important subject to God. And it's important because how we give, what we do, is reflective of our priorities, of our loyalties, of our affections. Jesus said it well in Matthew 6, verse 1. Where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. And there are many, many aspects to giving. And really what I want to touch on primarily this morning is simply the concept of first fruits. We've probably all heard that concept, at least in some ways, a concept of first fruits. And basically, the idea of first fruits was the idea that the first of everything that one gains belongs to the Lord. This applied to your crops, you know, your potatoes and carrots and spinach. Maybe you'd be free to give spinach, you know, an extra round of that. I don't know. It applied to your goats and sheep and whatever else you might be having in your barns. It even applied to your children. Interesting thought. We'll look at that in a moment. Exodus chapter 13, verse 2. Consecrate to me every firstborn male, the first offspring of every womb among the Israelites belongs to me, whether man or animal. The Lord says, it belongs to me. If you go a little further in Exodus chapter 13, verses 12 and 13, you find it says, after the Lord brings you into the land of the Canaanites and gives it to you, how's that for a nice gift? As he promised on oath to you and your forefathers. In other words, what the Lord is saying is, after you have started to get your increase, okay, you are to give over to the Lord the first offspring of every womb. All the firstborn males of your livestock belong to the Lord. Redeem with a lamb every firstborn donkey, but if you don't redeem it, break its neck. Redeem every firstborn among your sons. So it applies to your children, your firstborn sons as well. Every firstborn male. That's the concept of the first fruits. Every firstborn male, whether it was an animal or your child, was either to be redeemed or sacrificed. If it was a clean animal, it was to be sacrificed. If it was an unclean animal, ceremonially unclean, like a donkey, okay, it would be redeemed. Or if it was your son, it would be redeemed. In other words, something else would be sacrificed in its place. So this isn't saying that, you know, God wants you to sacrifice your firstborn son. What he's saying is you need to redeem. You need to sacrifice something else in the place of your firstborn son. And that was the concept of the first fruits. The principle being that the first always belonged to God. If you go back to the story of the Exodus, you'll remember how Moses tried again and again to convince the Pharaoh to let God's people go. And after one plague, after another plague, after a third and fourth, after nine plagues, the Pharaoh still hadn't relented. You remember that? He was stubborn. He was as stubborn could be. He had a hard heart. But it wasn't until the tenth plague, when God took the lives of all the firstborn males in Egypt, then the Pharaoh relented. Now, some people have wondered, well, you know, wasn't that a little extreme that God would take all the firstborn males out of Egypt? I mean, you know, it kind of goes against our sensibilities. It seems kind of harsh to us, right? It seems a little extreme for many. But as far as God was concerned, those firstborn males already belonged to him. They were his. They weren't redeemed. They hadn't been redeemed. They were his. And so really what he's doing is he's calling in what was his. And you remember, if you read the Bible, or maybe if you've seen Charlton Heston in the Ten Commandments, I don't know, that God told Moses that he had to put blood on the doorposts and the frames of the houses so that the firstborn males in that house would not be taken, would not be killed. And again, what we're seeing there is those firstborn males in those houses were being redeemed by the blood that was on their door. So you see, the firstborn male, it either had to be redeemed or it was taken. The redeemed were saved by the blood of the lamb that was put on their doors. Kind of reminds me of what John the Baptist said when he saw Jesus. He said, "Behold, the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. The Lamb of God that died for our sins so that we may be redeemed." You see the connection there? But the point here is that the first fruits belonged to God. Whether it was a male, firstborn male, whether it was an animal, whether it was an Israelite or an Egyptian, the first always belonged to God. And really that principle of the first belonging to God is something that we need to understand and apply to more than just money. We need to apply it in all areas of our life. Because the scripture wasn't talking about cash. It was talking about a lot of other things. It was talking about your cattle and your crops and your children. One area that I think sometimes we fall short in giving God the first of is our time. Not always, of course, but sometimes we lose that. Fortunately, when we come to church, as you are here today, when we set time aside, when we say, I'm going to make going to the house of the Lord a priority in my week, then we're giving the Lord the first of our time. It's important. Sadly, many people think of Sunday as their, you know, as their day off, their day to do whatever they want. And oh, if they feel like going to church, then they'll go. If they don't, then they won't. If something else comes up, oh well. But reality is that God wants the first of our time. And this is one great way to give God the first of our time. When I see people coming into church, I get blessed. I get encouraged. I see people who sometimes are struggling, who have a hard time, and they come, and it shows that they want to be blessed by God, and I trust that they will be. The reality is the first belongs to God, whatever it is. When we honor God with our first fruits, God says He will bless the work of our hands. Well, Pastor, you're talking here about tithing, aren't you? And, well, I can't give a tithe. I just don't have enough. I'll never make ends meet if I give a tithe. And the truth is that if that's the way we think, we're never going to have enough. It's not going to happen. And it's interesting because if you ask anyone who has been faithfully giving to the Lord, you will undoubtedly find them give a testimony of how they have been blessed. I'm sure of that. I would challenge you to find somebody who has been faithfully giving to the Lord, and they would tell you their testimony that they do not feel blessed. I don't think you'll find that. I'm confident that you won't. On the other hand, if you ask people who haven't been giving why they haven't, they'd say, well, I don't have any. I don't have enough. And the connection I see is so obvious that those who give are blessed, and those who don't give are struggling. And here's the point. If you don't give because you figure you don't have enough, the truth is you will never have enough. The whole point in giving isn't that God needs your money. It isn't even that the church needs your money. The whole point in giving is to put your trust in God and recognize His ownership over everything. You notice the Scripture calls our giving our first fruits. And I think that's an important concept that even I hadn't really paid much attention to in the past. I mean, I've always been a person who gives, but I've never thought of it as being important to give the first. And really, this is an important concept because going back to the Scriptures and the people that the Scriptures were in the context it was written to, you see that, you know, when an animal gave birth, the man who was depending on that animal's offspring for his sustenance, for his family, for his well-being, for his survival even. Okay, the guy who was depending upon that animal's offspring was being asked to give the first offspring to the Lord. And here's the point. When you give the first offspring to the Lord, you have no guarantees that there's going to be more. You don't know it. It's not like the guy waited until there was six lambs born, and then, okay, I'll give the sixth one to the Lord, or the tenth one to the Lord, or whatever one to the Lord. But it's the first, when there is no other yet. That takes an incredible trust when there's no visual guarantees. It doesn't make sense. It doesn't add up when you do it that way. When you sacrifice the firstborn animal, you are taking a huge step of faith. You are saying, God, I trust you. I'm putting myself in your hands. I don't know what's going to come. I don't know if there's going to be more, but I'm giving this to you. I'm going to be obedient to you, and I'm going to trust you to take care. And of course, we know that the scripture isn't just talking about animals. Exodus chapter 23, verse 19, it says, bring the best of the first fruits of your soil to the house of the Lord your God. In the King James Version, it says, bring the first of the first fruits. The first of the first fruits. The very, very first one you get. Bring it. Proverbs 3, 9 and 10 says, honor the Lord with your wealth, with the first fruits of your crops. Then your barns will be filled to overflowing, and your vats will brim over with new wine. Now, I'm not saying that this is what you need to, you know, if you do this, that, you know, you're gonna have your bank account is gonna be filled and all that sort of thing. Because, but you know, it wouldn't surprise me. You never want to be obedient for selfish reasons, but we need to be obedient just the same. Now, most of us today don't grow crops, well, other than a little garden perhaps, and we don't have too many sheep and stuff like that in our backyards. But in the culture in which the scripture was written, they certainly did. They grew their own food. They depended upon it. It was their survival. It was their increase. Today, our increase comes in different forms, usually in the form of a paycheck. But the principle applies just the same. The first of the first fruits belong to the Lord. That's the heart we need to have. A heart that gives gladly, joyfully. The fact is that God's blessing, as we read in Deuteronomy, is directly related to the decisions we make. And it's not just in Deuteronomy. You could read Psalm 1, and it tells you who is the man who is blessed. It's based upon the decisions that we make. If you would just walk in the counsel of the godly, you know, you will be blessed, Psalm 1 is saying. If you look at Matthew chapter 5, the Beatitudes, it tells us who will be blessed. If you do this, if you live this way, you will be blessed. And giving is just one more example of what it takes to be blessed. God's blessing might not always look the same. That's important for us to remember as well. God's blessing comes in different forms, but His blessing will be there upon your life and in whatever you put your hand to. And God takes it very seriously that the first belongs to Him. I just want to give one more example of how important it is that the first belongs to God. And we see this actually going back to Exodus in a story, in a situation that happened as the people of God had left Egypt. They've done their 40 years in the wilderness. They've gone into the promised land. They've taken Jericho. Remember Joshua and the battle of Jericho? Well, they've taken Jericho. Jericho has fallen. The Lord had commanded them that everything in Jericho was to be destroyed. It was to be devoted to God, basically, by being sacrificed. They were not to keep anything out of Jericho. Now remember, these are people who had been wandering in the wilderness for 40 years. For 40 years, they didn't have a solid roof over their head. They go in, they take a city, God leads them, it's conquered, it's theirs. And you know, wow, maybe we should just move in there. Have a nice house. There's a garden in the back already. There's a well. We're all set. And that's not what God wanted them to do. God wanted them to destroy everything in there. All of it. And then after that, they were to go on to the next town that they were to conquer. And they went to this next town, and they fought the battle, and they were defeated. They were soundly defeated. Not even, you know, it wasn't even close. They were clobbered, humiliated. And Joshua scratching his head, trying to think of what went wrong here. Something went wrong. What happened? And it turns out that one of the guys who had gone in and taken Jericho had taken some of the treasure and hid it under his tent, in the ground. And he kept some of it. And because of that, they were unable to proceed and find victory in the next town. And the whole point of that was that the first belonged to God. Not just in their crops and in their animals and in their son, but even in what they were doing, even in their conquest of the promised land. The first town belonged to God. And because somebody kept some of it back, they suffered consequences, severe consequences. Friends, what I'm trying to tell you, share with you, is that God delights when we give Him our first. It's as simple as that. There's no formula here, you know, this and that. And I'm not trying to promise you anything wonderful and lofty other than the fact that God's blessing, in whatever form it comes, rests on those who are faithful in giving their first on everything. Not just in their money, but in their time, in their heart. Putting God first in our lives, in our love, in our giving, in whatever ways we can. God wants us to put Him first, to give Him first. And if we do that, Scripture says over and over again that God will bless the work of your hands. And that's why I said at the beginning, I want to talk about blessing. We want to be blessed. We enjoy being blessed, whatever, you know, we like that. And yet there are times when we might feel like it's anything but blessing, my life. It seems like it's more chaos than blessing. And I would just encourage you. I would humbly encourage you. Not out of selfish reasons, believe me, I'm not trying to, this is not a fundraising campaign by any means. I'm trying to encourage you to put God first. Let Him have first and see what kind of blessing He will pour out on your life in numerous ways. Malachi chapter 3 verse 10, the Lord says, "Test me in this and see if I will not throw open the floodgates of heaven and pour out so much blessing that you will not have even enough room for it." God is eager. God is wanting to bring blessing upon your life. He says, "Test me in this." And friends, I want to encourage you. If you do not feel like you're experiencing God's blessing upon your life and all that is being done, I want to encourage you to maybe check. Take some time today, tonight, and look, God, am I giving you my first? Are you first in my heart? Are you first in my priorities? Are you first in my time? Are you first in my giving? And if you aren't, just take that time. Maybe even now, I don't know. And just say, "Lord, come, I give it to you. I don't know how it's going to work out. I don't understand it. It's risky, perhaps. But Lord, I'm going to be faithful and see if God doesn't pour out His blessing upon you in I don't know which ways, but He does. And you will find it." Let's pray. Father God, we just give You thanks this morning that You care about us. You care enough about us, Lord, that when we miss the mark, when we're going astray, Lord, we sense that in our heart. And Lord, I pray this morning that You'd help each one of us to not only to give, but to give our best, to give our first, And not only of our money, but our time, of our heart, of our love, of our commitment, Lord, to you. And Father, as we do that, we just look for your hand upon us. And Lord, if there's any here this morning who've been struggling or who are struggling perhaps in this area, I just pray, Father, that you'd help them to prayerfully make a decision to honor you with their first. And Lord, that you would just bless them for that. For all this, we give you thanks in Jesus' name. Amen.